General Johansen will speak to us tonight on the subject of time of preparation. I'm asked to read Proverbs, 4th chapter. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from thy words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall perceive thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of my life, of thy life, shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straight, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. The path of the just is as the shining light, which shineth more and more under the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, but far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So read the 4th chapter of Proverbs. Brother Duane.
Brothers, sisters, and friends, I trust that you older people will excuse me tonight if I don't talk too much to you, because my talk will be primarily for the younger people in this audience. To be of service to this Kentucky Bible School, especially for the opportunity of addressing the young people in whom I'm vitally interested, is a very great honor. Because it is in their unbiased minds, which are still in the formative state, that we find the most fertile ground to sow the seed and to cultivate the growth of God's truth. It is from and through the Sunday school that most of us came to a knowledge of the truth and to a realization that only by God's way, as revealed in the scriptures, can we me gain life eternal. Now, our life has been described by numerous writers as being divided into different stages. You young people here tonight will be interested in three or four of these periods. Our life begins as an infant. In this stage, we are utterly helpless, entirely dependent upon our parents for everything. For a tiny baby, time is devoted almost exclusively to eating, sleeping, and making his wants known by crying when he is hungry or uncomfortable, and smiling and jabbering when he is contented. As he begins to grow, to learn to talk, to learn to walk, he also starts to form a personality. At the age of 4 or 5, he begins to reason for himself. And if he has had the proper training and care, he has developed a trust in his parents that he does not question. A child at this age is probably at his most attractive state. Jesus showed his deep love for little children when he took them into his arms, put his hands upon them and blessed them. And it was this incident that he used to illustrate a great lesson in faith and humility. Two of the outstanding characteristics of a little child, when he said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter in." After you enter school, you are forced to depend more and more upon yourself and less upon your parents. You begin to think more for yourself, to develop a sense of right and wrong, and to form a personality that will be a governing influence throughout your entire life. It is to those of you in this stage of life, and I especially wish to appeal this evening, for the habits you acquire, the impressions that you receive, and the ideas that you form now will greatly affect your later life. It is therefore of the utmost importance that you have the proper start, because it will be much harder to change your habits and your ways of thinking later in life. Now is the time you should begin to strive for a purpose in life, to not only learn your duty toward God, toward others, and toward yourself, but to put first things first and follow the advice of Christ himself when he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." This is the only permanent goal it is possible to attain. You can find no sounder advice or follow no better counsel than that of Solomon, the man who prayed for wisdom, who wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That familiar passage of Scripture addressed especially to you young people: "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth,
while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. The chapter you have just heard read was also from the pen of Solomon. It is one that all young people should become very familiar with. In it, Solomon shows the parental instructions he had received, and he strongly advised the young to listen to the instructions of their parents, give credit to his father for the early training he received, and shows the benefit to be derived by following his wise counsel. You are indeed living in that period of time that can best be described as the time of preparation. Now, all of us have three distinct natures, each of which is dependent upon the other: the physical, the mental, and the spiritual or the religious. We should endeavor to keep a balance between the three, to cultivate any one at the expense of the other tends to make an unbalanced person and prevents us from developing a well-rounded personality. David the psalmist tells us, Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Also he hath told us, For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. From this you can see that our bodies are not our own to do as we please. When you consider the fact that the normal human body is designed to last for 70 years, you can realize its durability. Few machines, even those built of the strongest steel and given the best of care, can last that long. Our bodies are so wonderfully made, except in a few instances, they can repair themselves. But, like any man-made machine, the better care they receive, the better they function. It is therefore most important for you young people to cultivate good health habits and refrain from the things that are detrimental to your own well-being. Now, our bodies are governed by natural laws, which are the laws that God has provided to run his material universe. If we respect these laws, we reap the benefit of good health. But if we abuse our bodies, pay the penalty, sickness, and possibly death. Plenty of exercise, especially in the sunshine, plenty of fresh air, wholesome sport and games are also essential. They are essential to the growth and development of this body that God has given. And so when you young men and young women reach manhood and womanhood, you will enjoy good health and be better able to live happy and useful lives. Inasmuch as God has provided you with a wonderful natural body, it is your duty toward him to follow the advice of the Apostle Paul, who wrote, Present your body a living sacrifice,
holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Our intelligence or our mental capacity is the chief difference between us and the lower animals. The animals depend more upon instinct and have a low degree of intelligence. They remain on the same plane generation after generation. But man has been endowed by his Creator with intelligence and is the only living creature who can attain immortality, provided he seeks it in God's way. It is for this reason that you should endeavor to cultivate your mind. Learn to think and to reason for yourself, and to strive to obtain the necessary education that will fit you for a place in this life where you can be of service to God, your family, and your fellow man. The scriptures tell us that God appeared to Solomon in a dream and said, "Ask what I shall give thee." Solomon's answer was, "Give me wisdom and knowledge." Now the answer was so pleasing to God that Solomon was told, "Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor." The fact that God was so pleased to have Solomon ask for wisdom should be an incentive to you to seek after knowledge. Now is the time. Now is your opportunity to gain knowledge and wisdom through education. By cultivating your mind during youth, you will not only fit yourself for a useful career in later life, but your increase in mental capacity will enable you to obtain a better understanding of God's word. Now, without trying to detract from the importance of cultivating your physical and mental nature, let us now consider your spiritual or religious nature. It is this phase of your being that we will direct your thoughts from now on. Many of us cannot remember when we first started to attend Sunday school, because it has become a weekly habit by the time of our earliest recollection. The first stories we can remember were about Noah and the ark, Moses, the tiny baby found in the bulrushes by the Egyptian princes, the boy David slaying Goliath, and the story of the child in the manger. Since that time, through your Sunday school and in your homes, you are becoming more and more familiar with God's word. For it is written, "For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little." It is the earnest endeavor of your Sunday school to teach the truth that is revealed in the scriptures, unadulterated by the traditions of men, to show you the complete harmony that runs throughout the Bible, and to unfold to you God's great plan of salvation. The only means provided whereby mankind can obtain eternal life. You are most fortunate in obtaining this training in your youth, because if and when you entertain serious thoughts about accepting God's truth, you will not have the handicap so many of us have had of having to put aside false teaching before you can begin to build on the solid foundation of truth. You have been pleased, you have been blessed in having been raised in a religious atmosphere. For a person who grows up without any religious training is to be pitied, because when the trials and sorrows of later life come upon him, he has nothing to look to for support. In his hour of sorrow and distress, the things of this world can offer little comfort. Now, there are many things for which you should be thankful. They may appear so commonplace and have become so much a part of your life that you do not even give them a thought. Yet, if any one of these were suddenly taken away from you, you would realize how much it meant to you. They can be described as coming under the head of environment, which is defined as the surroundings, especially the conditions and the influences under which one lives. For when we speak of environment, we include your home, your school, your parents, brothers and sisters, your friends, and your Sunday school. Good food, warm clothing, and all of the things God has provided in order to make you happy and healthy young people. You have only to compare yourself with those youths in the war-ravaged countries of the world, where every effort is being made to wipe out all type of religion. When we talk of environment, the next thought that comes into our mind is appreciation. And when we think of appreciation, we naturally think of God, who has provided us with these blessings. For we are told, he giveth to all life and breath and all things. When you speak of your home, you mean more than the house you dwell in. You could live in a palace, surrounded by all the luxuries that money can buy, but it would not be a home unless you had devoted and understanding parents and the association of the ones that you love. Now, the greatest contribution that a child or a young man or woman can make toward the preservation of a happy home is to keep the fifth commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Paul states in his letter to the Ephesians that this is the first commandment with promise. In the epistle to the Colossians, we read, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. To disobey one's parents was a grievous offense under the law of Moses, which provided death by stoning for a son or a daughter who would not heed the chastisement of a parent. Now, while we are not living under that law, and are not subject to such drastic punishment, God has not changed and does not look with favor upon willful, stubborn disobedience. Now, there's another side to this commandment which is seldom realized. To warrant the obedience and respect of their children, parents should assume their responsibility, which in addition to providing the necessities of life, proper education, and the protection of a peaceful, happy home, is the proper religious instructions. In the book of Proverbs, we read this advice to parents: train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, you young people also have a duty to yourself. For in this world of turmoil and strife, you owe it to yourself to learn more and more of the things concerning God and His kingdom. Well, those who give an attentive ear to the Sunday school lesson and later attend the meeting and listen to the lectures will not only establish an excellent habit, but will gain scriptural knowledge and spiritual benefit that you cannot afford to pass up lightly. Few of the people of this world can tell you what they actually believe. And few of them can give actual biblical reference to support their beliefs. You are indeed most fortunate in having obtained instruction in the truth, every doctrine of which is supported by complete and harmonious scriptural authority. The advantages of growing up in a religious atmosphere cannot be overestimated. We have only to think of some of the greatest characters in the Bible to verify this statement. We have already talked of one instance when commenting on Solomon, who wrote the chapter read this evening. You are all familiar with Joseph, whose father gave him a coat of many colors. He was a son of Jacob and Rachel, who were outstanding characters. Here we see a lad of 17. Suddenly taken away from all home influences, sold into slavery, carried away into a foreign land, and deprived of all his former religious association. Despite all of this, he made the best of a bad situation and became a respected member of his master's household. Then he was subjected to a very great temptation, but with the help of God, and as a result of his early training, was enabled to overcome his tempers, choosing prison rather than yield to sin. It was after this that he was exalted to the second highest position in Egypt and became the savior of his people. While we are on the subject of parents and religious training, let us stop and give a thought to our own mother. I am sure that all the fathers here tonight will agree with me that the nearest thing to God's love is the love of a mother. It is the most sincere, the most loyal, the most self-sacrificing and devoted human love known. No matter how low we may fall, no matter what dishonor we may bring upon her, our mother's love will remain. She is ever willing to forgive, forget, and sacrifice for our most wayward child. Most of the beautiful things of this life come in twos or threes, dozens or by the hundreds. In our lifetime, we may see many gorgeous sunsets, rainbows, and beautiful stars. We may have wonderful brothers and sisters and friends. But there is only one mother for us in the whole world. We can never repay her in a material sense, but the realization that she has raised thoughtful, loving, and upright young men and women who have dedicated their lives to God will be the greatest joy that could possibly come into our life. Now, you are now reaching the time of life when you are mixing more and more in the things of this world. In the high school and in college, especially, you will make many new friends and acquaintances. Some good, some bad. You will have many new experiences, and you will be forced to make many decisions. Should I do this or not? Do I wish to have a certain person for a friend? Should I mix with this group or not? It is then that the training you receive in your home and your Sunday school will help you to make the right choice. There is no denying the fact that the allurements of the world are often very inviting. Always remember this, that anticipation is much more pleasant than realization. For when we yield to temptation, we find that the things we had anticipated are not nearly as attractive as we thought they were. In fact, after we had given away to our desires, we may be sorry, or we may be ashamed of ourselves. Even though no one else may know, God does. And my conscience may rob us of the very last vestige of pleasure we may have enjoyed. You will find that you can derive greater happiness, have no regrets to choose good friends and enjoy wholesome recreation. Now, some of you here tonight may be wondering why you should bother with religious training now. Because you say your lessons at school take up so much of your time, and that you can wait until you are older before giving thought to more serious things. The answer to your question, like all others, can be found in the Bible. Let me give you a few examples. Little did the boy David realize that when tending his father's sheep, that the familiar life of a shepherd would will serve as a setting for the 23rd Psalm. The most beautiful, inspiring bit of poetry of all time. Or that his skill with the sling, which he had developed to protect his flock, would be utilized by God to slay Goliath, the champion of the Philistines. The young lad with the few loaves and fishes who came to hear Jesus did not realize that his meager provisions would be used by the master as a basis for the miracle of the feeding of the multitude. The zealous young Saul of Tarsus, listening to his teacher Gamaliel, did not realize that he was gaining a knowledge of the law that would enable him in later life to expound and interpret the truth through his inspired epistles, and the learning necessary to carry out God's word as the apostle to the Gentiles. There will be a time when you young people will arrive at the time of decision. If you have taken advantage of the opportunities that have been offered you during your time of preparation, you will have obtained the necessary knowledge, the conviction and the hope, the desire to follow the example of Moses, who had the foresight to turn his back on a temporary pleasures, the riches and the prestige that was his as the Prince of Egypt, and to cast his lot with the people of God, whereby his labors and example, he laid up for himself permanent treasures, the most precious of all rewards, the crown of immortality, which shall be awarded to him upon the establishment of the glorious and eternal kingdom of God. The soundest advice that could possibly be given to a group of young persons is beautifully and completely summed up in one of the Sunday school hymns that many of you have sung. Go thou in light, fair one. Go in the bloom of youth. And buy for thine adornment the precious pearl of truth. Secure this heavenly treasure and bind it to thy heart. And let not earthly pleasure e'er cause it to depart.
Thank you, Brother Joe, for those remarks.